Hail, you nostalgic stand-ups.
Welcome to 90210 Here We Go, the podcast that takes a look at each episode of the Beverly Hills 90210 franchise from Fox to the CW.
One of us is a 90210 expert and the other is a 90210 novice.
I'm Kendra Mickles, and I'm seeing these episodes for the first time.
I'm Nick Gunning, and I've seen them all. The trauma of Emma is coming back to me.
Our show is brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, This and Dorian Life, and previously on X-Men. You can follow all of the shows at Radio Meanwhile on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Please subscribe, rate, and share the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of podcasts and ratings, I give Return of the Mac 4 out of 5 lies. Because we did not rate it in that episode, as you correctly pointed out.
I knew we did. As soon as we got to it, I was like... I have no memory of this.
It never came up. It naturally in our conversation. It just didn't come up. But I'm a 4 out of 5.
Okay. I'll also give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. So all right.
If you don't listen to all our podcasts, you don't get it.
I don't know what we're talking about, but you know, yeah. Okay, anyway. Today we are actually discussing Beverly Hills 90210 season 8, episode 13, Comic Relief.
I wish there was some comic relief in this
episode.
Oh
my gosh. Yes. Hiya! Hiya!
Stop.
He karate chopped his grandma in the story as well.
It's funny.
It's a 1-2, you know.
Yeah. All right, let's check out the Beverly Beat.
We guarantee the Beverly Beat is the best advertising you'll ever get.
This episode originally aired December 10th, 1997. Birthdays, December 15th, Maud Apatow of This Is 40 and Euphoria was born.
Love This Is 40.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann. It's a good time.
December 16th, Daniel Cosgrove, who we will meet in season 9, turned 27.
Just around the corner. These are shorter seasons, Kendra. 8, 9, and 10 are like 25 episodes instead of like 32.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Movies, December 12th, Deconstructing Harry with Woody Allen and Kirstie Alley. I'm trying to think of a Woody Allen movie I've actually seen.
Annie Hall?
No.
What's you probably saw Midnight in Paris, like Owen Wilson.
Oh, yes. I love Midnight. You actually bought me Midnight in Paris.
You're welcome.
I love that movie. Home Alone 3 with Alex D. Linz and Scarlett Johansson. And Scream 2 hit theaters featuring 90210 alums Tori Spelling, Rebecca Gayhart, and David Arquette.
I've never seen Scream 2. I did not know Tori Spelling was involved.
I came home and my husband was watching it. So I saw like the last 40 minutes of it and I didn't see Tori Spelling.
Okay. All right. Well.
TV, November 5th, HBO presents the stand-up special Another Lone Nut from actor and comedian Richard Belzer, featured in today's episode.
That's right.
It was released on CD.
That's right.
CD disc. And Steve's a fan.
The D stands for disc, so you don't have to say CD disc. Okay.
Did I say CD disc?
You said CD disc, and I just wanted to clarify.
I don't know why I did that.
Well, DC in DC Comics stands for Detective Comics. So really, it's Detective Comics Comics, which is
crazy. You know,
yeah.
Crazy. December 10th, Tony Danza's short-lived sitcom, The Tony Danza Show, aired its final episode.
Can't catch a break, Tony Danza. He had Taxi.
I feel like...
Who's the Boss? That's it.
I feel like if you have a show that's like your name, it's either one season and it flops or... Yeah. Or 10 seasons and everyone loves it.
Yeah. Paul Reiser's show, five episodes, maybe. The Dick Van Dyke show, the Mary Tyler Moore show,
the Bernie Mac show,
the Danny Thomas show. Mine are all old. Yours is more recent. So good for you. Good for you. Mulaney, also a flop. Quick flop on the Mulaney show.
Yeah. December 15th, Cartoon Network's Johnny Bravo aired its final episode of its original run. The show would be revived in 1999.
But it was never as good. It was never as good. Mm. So
loved Johnny Bravo.
Those original episodes.
December 16th, for music, the compilation album featuring Ice Cube. Sorry, featuring... Ice Cube was released with tracks spanning 1990 to 1997 and it was certified gold.
Good for Ice Cube.
Yeah. All right, Nick, take us beyond the zip code.
Well, since we were just talking about him, let me tell you, in 2023, Daniel Cosgrove, who will soon be playing Matt Durning on the show, appeared as Edward in the Sex and the City sequel series and Just Like That. Both shows were created by Darren Star, who also created the series Beverly Hills 90210.
As we well know.
Do you have any history with the Sex and the City world?
No. I was never allowed to watch it or anything, and I just never got into it.
My friend Bo says it's a little cringy these days. I've seen like a handful of episodes, but I did read the book, so.
Okay, well, you know. Then you're doing all right.
Thank you.
Let's look at our synopsis for comic relief. David and Val amp up their sex farce in an attempt to win back Donna and Noah. And it seems to be working a little. It's hard to tell if it's working.
That's why I said a little, because.
A little, maybe. They're talking about it, at least. Yeah. Elsewhere, David begins working at the car wash where he befriends Ben Wester, a gay man who becomes a target of insults and prejudice. Meanwhile, Donna pulls Kelly back into the modeling world. Brandon gives into temptation with Emma, and Kelly confronts Dr. Monahan. Finally, Steve gives stand-up comedy a try.
Waka waka.
Oh boy. All right, who's living in Beverly Hills?
Well, this episode was directed by Chip Chalmers, and it was written by John Lavacelli. This is his only major writing credit, though he has several on-screen credits, including an episode of Melrose Place, and he recurred on Days of Our Lives as Hank Tobin. So, I don't know. Minor acting career, and then wrote this episode. Good for him. The Emma storyline that we're in the midst of was included in the German novelization Happy End? By Carol Reed. This I've had this on my shelf forever. I just picked it up somewhere, fully in German. But it novelizes, I think, just the romance plots, because it has the beginning section where Kelly's jealous of Tracy and the whole Hawaii stuff happens, and then it kind of jumps to the Emma plot line and sees it through. So
I would love it if you took a trip to Germany and the only German you knew was from this book.
Was that just you, like, this book. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, I looked at it and I read a few chapters with the translator, like just using my phone as a translator, just to kind of see like what it was and what it was about. As far as I can tell, these are the latest episodes that were novelized, because most places stopped around when our pal Mel Gilden did as the college years began. So,
and can you confirm, interesting. Is this the storyline that you've been saying is the worst thing ever?
I hate it.
So we've hit it.
I hate it.
Well, I'm hating it too. So
I hate it.
Great. Continue.
Yes, thank you. Recurring players include Miles Jeffrey as Zach Reynolds, Fatima Lowe as Terry Spar, George Del Hoyo as Dr. Gary Monahan, who is just the living worst. I guess second to Angel Boris Reed as Emma Bennett, who actually is in fact the worst.
Gary Monahansy.
Yeah, I don't think you should make light of it, Kendra, but yeah, that's
I'm sorry. I'm just trying
That's a good pun. Boy, Tracy and Emma in one season is it's tough.
Yeah.
Recurring players include the Westers. We have Christopher Curry as Jerry Wester. He was also in Home Alone 3 and Johnny Bravo, so there's a funny little coincidence for you. Had a recurring role on Heart of Dixie, which also had I shouldn't have done it because I can't think of his name. Who played Deshaun? What was that guy's name?
I can't remember.
Why can't I think of him?
You said his name a million times, but it's gone from my brain.
I can't. It's totally... Okay, whatever. We have Jennifer Savage as Mrs. Wester. She was on Lois and Clark, Deep Space Nine, and played Commander Amy Helfman on JAG. Were you a JAG household, Kendra?
No, we never watched JAG. Well, okay. I never did. I don't know if my parents did. But
okay, yeah.
We had enough of the military life.
I was going to say, your dad was off living the JAG life.
Yeah.
Esteban Powell is Ben Wester. He was on In Plain Sight, Gilmore Girls, and Smart Guy.
Oh, maybe we have Gilmore Girls is where I recognized him.
Oh, maybe. Phil Hahn as a club patron. So we'll see him around a few more times just as an extra. And he does an extra episode of Melrose Place, too. So I guess he was just in the right place at the right time. We have Rainbow Borden as Joe. He was in the short-lived Birds of Prey, plus Justified and Shameless. And our bad comics are played by Tom Fahn, Patricia Bethune, and David Raybon.
They are bad.
Yeah. Cress Williams. Cress Williams plays Deshaun.
Cress Williams!
Jeez. He was also in Heart of Dixie. So there you go.
Lots of connections. All right. Let's get into the episode.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes.
We start at the Walsh house where Kelly is reading Emma's column. She's loving it. She's like, oh, aren't you just so glad I brought the two of you together?
Yeah.
What a great idea I had. Steve is shaving and talking to Carly on the phone about the whole her mom is leaving for Arizona situation. And he's like, you know, you've got me. We're going to figure it out. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, your responsibilities are not in the way. Because she's like, well, why aren't you like leaving me for someone with less responsibility? But he's like, pish posh.
Man, what I wouldn't give for them to write Carly a single ambition, you know?
Yeah.
Tell me, Kendra, if you can, one thing that Carly likes. I'll accept a food, a time of day, a color, an activity. Tell me one thing that she likes.
Time of day.
A single thing. You can't do it. Yet we know everything about Noah.
So as Steve is talking on the phone to Carly, we suddenly hear some very loud noises coming from Valerie's room.
Yeah.
Sex noises.
They were sex noises. Yeah.
And everyone in the house stops to, they can't help but stop to listen. It's very loud.
Yeah.
And then we see Valerie. She's just on her bed, shaking the bed frame and making noises.
Oh, David.
Yeah. And she has to convince David to, because David's just like sitting there, like, this isn't going to work. No one's going to believe this. But she says, do you want Donna back or not? So he jumps on the bed and joins in.
Yes. This reminded me very much of an early Frasier episode. Do you know the one I'm talking about? He goes on vacation and Lilith is in the room next door and they're like, they smash the bed to pieces.
He like completely breaks the
bed. He breaks the bed. He's screaming, oh, it's never been like this. Very funny. Very funny.
Brandon and Kelly are like, huh, interesting that David's in there. All right.
Kelly's like, I didn't think David had it in him. And Brandon's like, I knew Valerie did.
And Kelly's asked Brandon some more questions like, what's Emma like? Do you think I'd like her? What does she look like? And he's like, just normal run-of-the-mill girl. Nothing interesting about her.
Yep.
Kelly wants to meet her. And Brandon's like, sure. Yeah. Someday.
That'd be so great.
Yeah. After the intro, David comes down to the kitchen and Steve and Brandon just give him like a standing O. They're like, you know, great job.
Pretty funny. They're pretty funny about it.
Yeah, they're making jokes. Brandon's like, you know, no structural damage to my house, please.
Yeah, he says Valerie didn't give me a security deposit. So
Yeah. David tells them he's starting his new career at the car wash.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yeah. Donna comes over to tell Kelly that she has this modeling gig that she's put together. She's in charge of because she does these things, as we know. And her model has come down with mono, so she wants Kelly to be the model at this photo shoot.
Yeah, I want everybody to remember that Kelly right now is sporting a Jeff Daniels haircut.
It's bad.
But they still want her for the modeling, so.
Yeah.
Kind of fun to call back to Kelly's like brief modeling career, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because at first she's like, I haven't modeled in 10 years. I couldn't possibly.
But I would love to know what miracle cure they had for Kelly's like major scars from that fire, because they seem.
My husband and I were just, he just brought like that up. He's like, remember when Kelly was like a monster because she was fire?
Yeah. But all healed.
He actually said yesterday, he was like, whatever happens with Kelly, like, you just have to say to yourself, at least she's not on fire.
Yeah.
At least she's not literally burning to death.
That's good to keep in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Donna convinces her. Kelly's like, okay, I have to go to work, but I will take the afternoon. I'll see if I can take the afternoon off to help you.
Yeah.
David comes in and Donna is like, oh, you're alive. Like, you didn't come home last night. I thought maybe you were dead. And Valerie comes down the stairs and is like, he did come home last night. Kiss, 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 kiss.
Yeah.
At the Wyatt Clinic, Dr. Monahan is on the phone with his wife and they're having an argument when Kelly comes in. And Kelly is trying to ask for the afternoon off. And he keeps just like getting closer to her and mm-hmm. being like, it's not working with my wife. We fight all the time. Yeah. We want to separate, until he's like basically pushing her up against the door.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And then he like reaches around her to open the door.
It's very creepy. Yeah. What a night and day too. The first episode when Eric was here and we meet this guy, he's just this charming, like, I'm a good-hearted doctor. The next episode, you know, not
literally,
not since Michael on Melrose Place have we seen a character flip like this.
I'll have to take your word.
Oh, it's noticeable, Kendra. Trust me.
At the car wash,
David
arrives, and I guess he doesn't have a boss or someone who's going to show him the ropes. He like introduces himself to this guy and the guy's like, okay, like, why are you talking to me? Tells him to go clock in.
Yeah. It's like a pop-up car wash.
Yeah. So David goes to try to find the clock. He can't find it. He's like rummaging around and Ben comes in and is like, hey, get out of my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Shows him where the time clock is and exchange pleasantries.
Yes.
I guess, if you could say that.
I mean.
At the Peach Pit After Dark, Noah is auditioning comedians for their comedy theme night.
Yeah.
And it's bad. It's really bad. The first guy is talking about, do you want fruit or flies with your burger?
Yeah.
Then the next lady comes in and she's like, anybody here from LA?
Restarting, wanting to restart. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve comes in and basically just to tell Noah about Valerie and David and how surely David can't walk or Valerie can't walk today. So I just came by to like see how she's doing. And Noah's like, whatever. I don't care. The lady still got, she talks about like cats and dogs and like how dogs are like one way and cats are another way.
Classic stuff.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
It's very bad. Steve, watching all this, is like, I could do better than that. So Noah says that he should audition Friday night.
Yeah.
At the Beverly Beat, Brandon likes Emma's newest article and he wants her to write a series of articles for the Beverly Beat.
Bad decision.
Yeah, she's open for more. She wants to be persuaded to write the article and maybe more.
Yeah.
So she says, you're going to take me to lunch at National Gourmet and convince me, persuade me to write these articles.
Again, it's just like with drugs. Just say no.
Yeah.
Just say no.
As they're talking, Kelly arrives and she meets Emma, very excited to meet Emma. And nothing is said here about who Kelly is to Brandon.
Right.
Brandon doesn't say, this is my girlfriend, Kelly. He's just like,
yes, that information seems adrift. I didn't realize that was a secret before.
I didn't either. I thought it was known.
I don't know that was made clear that it was a secret, but apparently.
So after Emma leaves, Kelly says that she has some time before the modeling gig with Donna. So she wants to know if Brandon could go to lunch. And Brandon is now going to lunch with Emma. So he makes excuses. He's like, oh, I don't even know if I can eat lunch today. I'm so busy. Like, how about we go to lunch tomorrow?
Yeah. He could even have told a half truth here. You know what I mean? He could have been like, I'm trying to lure Emma and we got this working lunch, you know, but no.
He definitely should have said, I've got a meeting
with a
source or something.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to be in the office or something like that. He didn't cover his tracks very well.
No, not that
I'm pro Brandon.
But it's just if you're going to lie, do a little bit
better.
Do it well. Yeah.
At the photo shoot, Kelly is excited to get back into modeling. She says she hasn't felt very desirable lately.
Mm. Haircut.
I guess by Brandon, she hasn't felt desirable lately. And so she's, you know, she thinks this will be good for her. And Kelly tells sorry, Donna is talking about, you know, the whole Valerie David thing, and she's like, oh, I want to strangle them. So the whole episode, it's hard to tell, do they care? Do they not care?
Yeah.
They both sometimes are like, okay, whatever, that's weird.
Yeah.
Not I like, think, I've got to get them back.
Yes, I think that they're not having like an instant jealous reaction, but I think it's getting in their craw a little bit. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think they're like, how dare they? But I think they're the more they think about it, they're like, huh, I actually don't love that now that I think about it. I don't like it so much.
Kelly has a phone in her dressing room, and so she calls Brandon at the paper, and Terry tells her that Brandon's not back from lunch yet.
Yeah.
And she says, what?
Again, Brandon, with the lies. I mean, Abraham Lincoln said it best. Whatever you are, be a good one. Brandon, lie better. Tell Terry, you know what I mean?
It's
just...
At National Gourmet, Brandon is telling Emma that he'll give her complete freedom with her article. No one will touch her words. Mm-hmm. They shan't be edited.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much, you know, innuendo in this conversation. She says, you know, I tend to get inspired after hours. And he says he wants to keep his mind on business and starts listening, like listing what percent of his mind is on business right now. And they land on 50.
Yeah.
He's like 50% business, 50% pleasure right now.
Mm-hmm.
So she says,
here's a 90s reference for you, Kendra. Emma is basically one of the fembots from Austin Powers. Her only goal is to just come in and seduce Brandon and maybe kill him. We don't know.
Yeah.
But this is the third. We had Claire, we had Lucinda, and now Emma. These women that are just like, my personality is wanting to sleep with you. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And for why? For what reason?
I'm not sure. I don't know. He's a nice looking guy, but I don't know why he's inspiring this Helen of Troy reaction from every woman he meets.
Emma declares that the business half of the lunch is now over and she wants to get on to the other half. So she asks if he's free for the rest of the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he says yes.
Oh, Brandon. Brandon.
At the car wash.
I'm not going to do the whoop whoop. Not this time.
The other workers are picking on Ben because he's gay.
Because he's gay.
And David kind of sticks up for him. He's like, you know, why don't you guys shut up kind of thing. And they're like, oh, are you gay too? At the Peach Pit, Steve wants Carly to come and watch his audition for comedy night, but she's too, it's the lunch rush. She's too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know anything about Carly, it's that she's good at the lunch rush.
Yeah. Well, then maybe that's a thing we know then. Maybe that's one thing we know. She's good at the lunch rush.
Yep. Over at the Peach Pit After Dark, Noah and Valerie are now watching the auditions. And this guy's doing a bit about how he, like, used a ribbed condom. And she's like, yeah, but you wore it inside out.
It was a little funny. It was a little funny.
Maybe. It took me a minute, honestly, with that one. Noah brings up the whole David thing to Valerie, which makes Valerie like, oh, you heard that, huh? Like, oh, everyone's such gossips.
She's like, excellent. Excellent.
It is now Steve's turn. And Steve at least has, like, the best stage presence.
Yeah.
Of anyone we've seen so far. He like grabs the mic and is walking around.
Yeah.
He's talking about how he took these really expensive self-defense classes and how the guy said only use these for self-defense. And he was like, no, I'm going to karate chop everybody. And then he karate chops his grandma because he doesn't like her oatmeal raisin cookies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone is dying laughing.
They are. They're rolling on the floor. And watching this, I was like, is this funny? No. But like his delivery, his like personality is enjoyable at least. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's.
So it's the writer's fault here.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote this episode, it wasn't funny. I never
understand this. I never understand this. Just like if you're a TV writer and you're writing this, you got to ask some stand up to write some jokes or something.
You got to make it funny.
Don't just, I hate, it's my biggest pet peeve. Not my biggest, but one of mine.
I feel like surely when they were filming this, Ian Ziering was like, we know this isn't funny, right? And everyone was like, really having to like act and pretend yeah. to be laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
Back at the photo shoot, Kelly has now tried multiple times to get a hold of Brandon, and he is still not back. And she's talking to Donna about it. She's like, I don't know. I feel like something's up and that he's hiding something or someone.
Yeah. And I think that's a real jump for her because he's acting so out of character for one, but like not with her. I don't think Brandon has given her any reason to doubt him at this point. She's right. So her intuition is right. But I just mean from a story standpoint, nothing's happened.
Yeah. I agree.
For her to be suspicious of, but.
Well, Kelly kind of talks her down. She's like, that's crazy. Guys are in love. There's no reason why he would be cheating on you. Doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't, no.
It doesn't. So Brandon is dropping Emma off at her place. They spent the whole day together shopping and whatever else they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when they left, they were going like straight to the bedroom, but apparently... Yeah. Fun for Brandon is just like shopping with Emma.
Shopping, yeah.
Yeah. So she asked what his percentages are right now, and he says he's 70-30.
Mm.
She's like, pleasure business or business pleasure? And then she leans in and kisses him. And he dadgum kisses her back.
He sure does. Yeah, he doesn't fight it at all.
And she does invite him in, and he says no. And she's like, oh, okay, well... You will. You'll come in sometime. Yeah. And then they kiss more.
He even says he wants to.
Yeah.
But he can't.
He's like, I want to, but I can't.
He's not acting guilty at all. Like, you don't see it. I don't know. It's weird. I don't like it. I hate it.
It's not Brandon at all.
No.
He's just suddenly like, I'm just going to cheat on Kelly.
Yeah. We're living together. She just got shot. I think I'll cheat on her. Because this lady, you know.
It's just an assassination of his character.
Kendra, I know.
All right. Next morning at the Walsh house, Brandon brings Kelly some guilty breakfast in bed.
Her
favorite breakfast.
Yeah.
She apparently got home around like 2:30 a.m. And he is like, I tried to wait up for you, but, you know, you were so late getting home from the modeling gig, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
It went to the wee hours of the morning.
The whole time he was thinking, oh, I could have slept with Emma. I had plenty of time.
Yeah, I had so much time.
Sex time.
She brings up that... Kelly brings up that she wasn't able to get in touch with him, and he very quickly has excuses like, oh,
yeah.
I got a call right after you left, and I had to track down a source, and I wasn't in the office all day.
At this point, he is dexterous with the lies, because she's like, oh, what was the story you were tracking down? And he was like, crooked circuit court judge. You know, just like rattles it out. I'm like, okay, now the lion train's left the station.
She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I just had a weird feeling, but I shouldn't be distrustful of you. Mm. And there's no look of guilt on his face. He's just like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. No worries. No. He's like, let's get back on track. Let's you and me have a date tonight.
Yeah. I think at this point, I think this is the last train out of the, you know what I mean? Like, I think he could be like, I'm never speaking to Emma again and live his life. But I don't think that's what he's going to do.
That's what I thought was, I thought he was going to be like, well, this is a mistake and we're never doing that again. But
Yep.
Nope. At the car wash, they're eating lunch, and Ben thanks David for sticking up for him the other day. And, you know, we get into a little of Ben's story, like the car wash owner is no help in this situation, and it happens a lot. And we learn his parents kicked him out when they found out he was gay. And so he's just been living at the car wash. And he's like, you know, I can deal with people like my coworkers, but I can't, it's hard to deal with my family.
That would be tough.
Yeah. At the clinic, Dr. Monahan finds Polaroids of Kelly's modeling gig the day before. They're like kind of sticking out of her purse.
Yeah.
And he grabs them out of her purse.
Yeah.
And is looking through them. And she very sternly is like, give them back to me.
I don't. Yeah.
And he doesn't, he's like, oh, just let me keep looking, just one more. And then he says, too bad you're using, all these good looks on a less experienced man.
Ugh. Doctor, feel bad.
At the Peach Pit After Dark, Noah and Valerie are like, hey, theme night is where it's at. Like, they made a lot of money, or they're going to make a lot of money on comedy, or it's going well. They're happy with how it's going.
Can you imagine just like trying to be a regular at the Peach Pit After Dark and just walking in and being like, why are they line dancing tonight? And then the next night you're like, is this a stand-up show? What's happening?
I just want to dance.
Especially after two seasons of Ray's acoustic guitar. You know, now it's just.
I just want to dance to slow acoustic guitar music.
I just want moody slow jams, and that's all. That's what I come to a nightclub for. I don't want any wine.
David arrives, and Valerie runs over and like hugs and kisses him. And he's, you know, they're pretending. Donna is trying to talk to Noah, or trying to talk to Kelly, but she's distracted by Noah. So Kelly's like, go talk to Noah. And she goes to talk to Noah, but Noah is distracted by David and Valerie. He's like, what do you think their deal is?
Yeah. I think it's a very real reaction. I think that's a relatable moment.
And Donna says, well, like, does that bother you seeing him with someone else? And neither of them like give an answer.
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, does it bother you? Can it answer a question with a question kind of thing? Yeah. Brandon comes to sit with Kelly, and she mentions that Dr. Monahan is becoming a problem.
Yeah, now. I'll say.
And Brandon, I guess, is now on her side.
He believes her this time.
Yeah. And he says, you should call him out on the behavior. And if it doesn't change, like, you need to file a grievance, talk to HR or whatever.
Yeah.
So she says, I will go first thing tomorrow to talk to him about this.
I don't think that would be the advice today. I think it would be more like seek out a supervisor or a third party. Don't put yourself in the situation.
Don't go by yourself.
But by 90s standards, she's confronting him first.
Yeah. Yeah. David comes to talk to Donna and is like, oh, are Valerie and I bothering you? But Donna says that they have no effect whatsoever on her relationship with Noah. And, you know, maybe if she's with Valerie, he should move out of the apartment and go live with Valerie.
Mm-hmm. So not a bad idea. Yeah, maybe he will.
Over at the Peach Pit, we get a little scene with Nat. He's going to watch Zach while Carly goes next door to watch Steve's comedy set.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll be great.
Steve is very nervous about his set.
Yeah.
And this did make me laugh out loud. Brandon is like, I'm here for you, man. Anything you need, I'm right here in your hour of need. And then as soon as he sees Emma walk through the crowd, he's like, gotta go. And I laughed out loud.
That is funny.
So Emma has arrived to see Brandon, and Kelly is, you know, they see Kelly there, and she's like, oh, Kelly's your girlfriend. You very conveniently forgot to mention that she was your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So Kelly comes over and invites Emma to sit with them, and she agrees.
Yeah.
Valerie and Noah introduce comedy night, and Steve's up first, which is tough.
To be the opener? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they should have put him later on, unless he's the only one. Maybe he's,
it's possible.
Maybe he's the only one.
I think you need a couple of ringers, but.
So he starts doing his whole self-defense class thing, and no one laughs.
Yeah. So this on my list of pet peeves, this is another one. On shows where you have a friend who's like tanking, the friends, they're not even laughing. They're not even like encouraging him at all. They're just stone faced looking at him like, no way. No way. If I came to one of your concerts and you were whiffing at Kendra, you best believe I'd be like, woo! You know?
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So then Steve abandons his self-defense material and starts talking about when kids are little, they always like lift their clothes over their head, and we should like do that as adults. And people start laughing, and he gets the crowd going. And by the end of it, everyone's like on
their loving feet. They're loving it. Yeah.
David goes to talk to Ben's parents.
Yeah.
This person he literally met like 24 hours ago.
Very season one Brenda move that he's doing right now.
Yeah. Which also Brenda callback. Didn't Brenda do like stand-up comedy?
She did. Brenda did do stand-up comedy.
Eric brought that up. He was like, wow, they're really, going back to for this material.
I forgot about that. Oh boy. Yeah, that was rough. I was just thinking about Laverne the other day. I was thinking about
why would you ever think about Laverne?
Honey pie. Oh, awful.
So he tells Ben's parents that he works with him at the car wash, and his dad assumes that they're like together.
Mm.
And he's like, no, like I literally just met him. And I just want to let you know, like, he's in real trouble. He has nowhere to live. He's really in pain. Like, your son needs help. And the father says, I don't have a son. Slams the door in David's face.
People, why? Why?
Why?
Horrible choice. Horrible choice.
90s. Yeah. I mean, people still do that today.
I was going to say, that one's still pretty believable, actually.
Yeah, yeah. At the Beverly Beat, Brandon is reading a review that someone did of Steve's set, and it's glowing. It's a glowing review.
They love it.
Steve is like, we can't print this. Like, I work here, where's the integrity there?
Yeah.
But they're like, he's an
independent reviewer.
Independent reviewer. Yeah. Like, we had nothing to do with this. And Brandon's like, is there another reason you don't want us to print this? And Steve's like, no.
How dare you?
Emma stops by to drop off a new article for her column, which is just in time because Terry's saying they have like blank space.
Yeah. If they don't run the review, then they have all this extra. Yeah.
Yeah. So Emma says that, Brandon's like, well, after last night, I thought you weren't going to want anything to do with me anymore. And she says, I can separate business from pleasure. Can you? And her article that she wrote. I don't
know what that means, but.
Okay. I guess, she still wants to work with him, but not be with him.
But not work with him.
Right, right, okay. Right. All and right. The article she wrote is about two-timing men.
Rude.
At the Wyatt Clinic, Kelly comes to talk to Dr. Monahan, again, by herself with the door closed.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-mm.
And she says, she's very firm, very direct. She's like, I won't stand for the way you've been talking to me. It's making me very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's inappropriate. I know you're having problems with your wife, but I'm not the one to talk to about it.
Yeah.
So please stop. And he immediately goes into, are you accusing me of sexual harassment? How dare you? Are you not able to work with men? Like, maybe you should go work at a nursery school. And he just, leaves the room.
Ugh. No thanks.
At Carly's house, Steve has brought over a comedy CD, Richard Belzer. And is like, I really think we should listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Carly's trying to, she's like, we've got the house to ourselves. Like, let's use this time wisely. But he's like, I really think you need to listen to this CD. And he ends up telling her that he stole his jokes last night from Richard Belzer.
Ooh.
So it, all the funny stuff that people were laughing at was not his original material.
Yeah.
And not Carly's cool. like, not wow. Cool. I really can't believe you did that. And he just keeps digging the hole he's in. He's like, huh, I stole one of Brandon's papers back in college.
Yeah. It's actually very on brand when you think about it.
And then he starts giving other examples of how dumb he is. I didn't write them down, but it gets Carly laughing. And she's like, look at me. I'm laughing. You just need to be yourself. You're so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He kind of falls into like stand up comedy pacing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when he starts telling you that, here's the other thing I did. Oh, it's like, come on. We get it. He's funny.
He's funny. At the Peach Pit After Dark, Noah is quite happy with all the money that they made at comedy night. Valerie's just like over there counting counting stacks of bills. Yeah.
On drinks, I guess.
I guess.
On door sales? I'm not sure.
Valerie tells Noah that David is moving in with her because Donna kicked David out.
Yeah.
Donna like comes in as Valerie's leaving and Noah is like weirdly concerned, like, why did you kick David out? And she says, well, I thought you'd be happy that I wasn't living yeah. with my ex anymore.
Right.
And they talk a little about like how her and David have such a history and how, you know, can she really be over him with all this history they have? Mm-hmm. But they kind of land on like, I'm with you now and I want to be with you.
Yeah.
Kiss, 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 kiss.
Oh.
All right. Our last scene is at the Walsh house. Ugh. Brandon is telling Kelly that he's proud of her for standing up to Dr. Monahan. Kelly is reading Emma's latest column. She like stopped or no, Steve brought it home.
Right.
Because Brandon's like, how do you have that already? Like we haven't even printed it or whatever. And she says, you know, the guy in this article, he's cheating on his girlfriend with this other girl. But the girl, when she found out that he had a girlfriend, still wants to be with the guy.
Mm.
And Kelly's like, maybe he shouldn't be with his girlfriend. Maybe he should break up with his girlfriend and he should be with this other girl.
Kelly.
And then the last thing that happens is Emma calls Brandon. And Brandon's just like, hello, like pretending mm-hmm. he can't hear her on the other line.
And she's all, like, oh, she's right next to you, right where I want to be.
Right where I want to be.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. And again, ugh. He tells Kelly, oh, wrong number.
Yep.
That's the end of the episode.
That's it. That is it. Kendra, what's your 90210 snap?
I don't know. That last scene, I guess, that phone call.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. The phone call, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Emma belongs on Melrose Place. She would fit in perfectly on Melrose Place. I don't know what she's doing over here. They even mentioned, they said they were shopping in Melrose. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, she was being called back to the courtyard, but I don't know.
I was talking to Eric about this and I was like, I mean, we say this all the time, but I feel like Kelly and Brandon had never been given a moment's peace, specifically no. Kelly. And my husband, he was just like listening as I was watching the episode. He was like, wait a second. Brandon's cheating on Kelly while she's being sexually harassed at work. And I was like, yeah, that's the storyline right now.
Yeah. Yep.
It's great.
Yep. Yep.
And again, this has just never been Brandon's MO ever.
No.
And he's being like so heartless about it and sneaky about it. It's just, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you know, it's a little his MO because he kind of moved in on Kelly when she was with Dylan and he kind of was with Emily Valentine during the fire. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. All right. You got me so there
a little bit. But yeah,
I just don't know how you come back from this because Kelly's going to find out inevitably.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's any coming back from it.
I'll tell you, Kendra, it doesn't go where you think it's going to go. I promise you that.
Oh, great. Okay.
I don't know. I'm stymied by the lack of chemistry between Brandon and Kelly because it seems like they had it way back in the day when Brandon was with Lucinda and Kelly was pretending to be his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then it creeps in every time they're not together. There's sort of like a pull. But I can't tell if it's a lack of chemistry that they have together as actors or if the writing just never gives them.
I think that, like Samson in the Bible, when you cut off his hair, he loses his strength. We've cut off all of Kelly's hair, and the chemistry has just hurt. The chemistry was in the hair, I think.
Well, Brandon started the series with a strong mullet, so his hair has been sheared as well. So a combination of the two. Yeah, that's probably it. Okay. Well, Kendra, you can catch me every other week on This Endorian Life, but I want to mention we're recording during Poetry Month, and over on How's Things, my friend Malika Costa and I did a Poetry Month special on Kwame Alexander, which is a lot of fun, so you can go listen to that. What about you, Kendra?
I'm Miss MusicBox91 online, and I have another podcast called 90s Music Got Me Like, where we talk 90s music and our Latest episode was The Kids Aren't All Right by The Offspring. Our next episode, which will be out next week, is going to be How Do You Like Me Now by Toby Keith.
Hmm. I assume that's your pick.
It is.
Okay. All right. Well, and then we'll be back here with Season 8, Episode 14, Santa Knows. I wish that people could have seen all your facial features just droop. Just all the happiness just drained out of your face. It was pretty funny.
I love a good Christmas episode.
Yeah, especially in April.
When Santa's involved.
Yeah, yep. I hope there's no guardian angels or the actual Santa or Mrs. Claus in this, but who knows?
Who knows? Santa knows.
He does. And with that, Kendra, 9021, here we go. Freaking Emma.